You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show, Canada's most listened to spiritual talkback program.
Folks, coming up in a little while on the show, Randy Travis will join us around the 2:30 mark. Country music sensation that he is. But before we get to Randy Travis, we jump into our first talkback subject, brought to you by iSeco, keeping you more than just safe since 1938. Does a church have a right to publicly reveal a person's private sins? There's a quote I came across, some Google News article. And we'll get your opinion in a little bit about this particular court case that's going on in Dallas, where if I can explain this as concisely as possible, these kind of things get a little complicated while trying to explain them. But it sounds like a guy is struggling with some kind of a sin in his life, and I guess there's his wife involved here, but then there's another lady involved. And, you know, they want to be private about not disclosing exactly what's going on, but it sounds like affair material. But who knows, right? Who knows? And the church is, you know, if I understand things right again, has gone up to this guy and said, hey, this may not be the best thing to kind of be doing. And I guess he hasn't taken to that and kind of hasn't stopped the whatever's going on. And so where does the church go with that? Well, according to, you know, either 1 Corinthians 5 or Matthew 18, there's that whole, well, you go to them first, and then if they don't take heed, then you come to them with a few more people. And then if they don't take heed, then you bring it before the church. And, well, these folks haven't taken kindly to the church doing something like that, spreading the word about what's gone on. And so they're now suing the church. So just to get clarification on this whole scenario, we've got on the phone with us the senior pastor from this church, Pastor Todd Wagner. Todd, are you still there?
I'm still there, Drew. You bet. Sorry we missed the Randy Travis segment.
Well, no, it's coming up, mate. It's coming up. You're before Randy. You know, we got to get the important people out of the way first, right?
Being from Dallas, you can imagine we might like some country music, so we're Randy Travis fans.
That's right. Well, you know what we say up here in Canada? We say if you can't play music, play country music.
I understand, eh?
Hey, listen, okay. Did I describe that scenario concisely enough, or did I get some facts wrong? Lay it on us.
No, you did good. I mean, you know, I think the way this is being positioned, I mean, I think it is, you know, when folks hear that the church have a right to reveal a person's private sins, you know, I think we have a responsibility to love each other well, is the way you want to say it. And so when you have a brother that's struggling, the scriptures are pretty clear that we're to do everything we can to admonish the unruly, encourage the faint heart, and help the weak. And so we've got a responsibility to this brother who asked us to care for him, and we've asked him to care for us as part of the body of Christ. And there's an issue going on in his life where we're just trying to spur him on. And you're right. What has happened is when he was approached by individuals that were directly close to him, again and again, they finally went and said, let's get some other folks to come and encourage him. And then they finally appealed to the leadership of the church to get involved with him.
Now, when you say encourage him, you really mean confront nicely, don't you?
Well, sure. I mean, yeah, that's right. I mean, by encourage, it's like, hey, this is inconsistent with your profession of who Christ is in your life. And you want to be a man that walks worthy of the calling with which you've been called. And, you know, being unfaithful in the way that you are is not consistent with that. So let's deal with that. And by the way, he's filed a suit under the name John Doe, so we'll call him that.
Yeah.
I've had conversations with John this week, and many others have continued to reach out to him. And like all of us, when we're struggling with some stuff, there is in John, I mean, I really believe that one day this is going to get worked out, and I think that John will, my prayer is, my hope is that one day John's going to stand before the body and say, look, I was running scared, I was imagining things that really weren't even going to take place, but I think there's going to be some restoration here. At least that's our hope.
But bottom line is, though, Todd, and again, we're speaking with Pastor Todd Wagner, who is the pastor of Watermark Community Church in Dallas. Is that right? Right in Dallas?
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah. bottom line is you want him to knock off whatever he's doing, right? You want to say, hey, look, you've been embracing a sin, not just struggling, you've been embracing this particular sin in your life, and you need to knock it off, big guy. And he's kind of said, you know what, no, I don't want to, or I can't, or, you know, whatever excuses have come down the line. And let's be real about this, Todd. It is hard for the majority of people when they're struggling with something, when they're embraced in something, you know, the hurts, habits, and hang-up scenario. You just can't turn it off. You just can't flick a switch and say, okay, I'm going to stop doing this for whatever, right, for a lot of people in various sin issues, right?
Yeah, all of us have got different, what we would call coping strategies or places that we go to find life. And I said that with a little L. As a part of defining life where Christ says we should find it. And so when we're attached to something compulsively, or just we're experiencing some positive return from it, we don't like to let it go. And so what we do is when folks are pushing us through that and showing us how it's damaging our life, desiring to God, and hurting other relationships, you know, a lot of times you fight back and say, hey, get away, leave me alone on this. Now, I think John's specific issue was that he was pretty concerned that others were going to become aware of this in a way that he was uncomfortable, because that's the other thing. A lot of times, even when we're doing these things, we don't want other people to know about it. Now, let me tell you how we define that last part of Matthew 18 and verse 17, where it says,
go to the church.
If he doesn't listen to them, go even to the church. Watermark, you know, had several thousand adults that attended. And so we, and I would say that 99% of them don't know John Doe personally. And so we don't feel like it's imperative that every member of the church sees a picture of John Doe and Jane Roe and says, look, these two folks are really struggling, and here's what's going on. We define we reserve the right to, when we need to encourage the church and instruct the church, and we might sometimes talk about issues that happen in general, but when it's with a specific individual, church to us is folks that they are at that point in connected with through relationship, or who they have represented themselves to as followers of Christ in the way that they know them.
Okay, so you would never stand in front of your entire church and say, hey, Billy here and Susie, they're shacking up with each other and they shouldn't be, so we just want to let you know.
I want to stop short of saying never, but there's got to be a real good reason to tell it to everybody. I mean, if people aren't part of the problem or part of the solution, they probably don't need to know. I mean, if it's me, absolutely, everybody needs to know about it. If
sure.
It's an elder or a leader of the church, because everybody identifies with them.
Yeah.
If it's a situation where there's a gal at our church who's single, and let's just say she had an inappropriate relationship, and everyone's going to watch her grow large and great with child over the next 9 months, we might just say, hey, look, here's what happened, tough decision that she made, and there's consequences to it, but praise God, she's not going to make another bad decision. And as you see her now grow great with child, understand this. She's handling what she's done well and as reasonably as she can. We might in a situation like that, but in all those, there's got to be a compelling reason to tell it to a larger group of people. But in John Doe's case,
you're going to send out some letters to people who know him, right?
Well, the letter piece, yeah. We did that because there are folks that John's related with around the country who know John to be a professed follower of Christ, some of which he served on even some national boards. And so we told John, those folks we've invited to every meeting that we've had to process this stuff with you, they've not been able to come. And so when we finally get separated, or to the point where you're not dealing with this in a biblical manner, and we've got to say, hey, don't confuse John's life with us as a body or with people who take the name of Christ in general, we're taking it to its final leg, which is to say, we're going to treat John as the scriptures say, a tax gatherer, a Gentile, which is to say, you love him, you speak truth to him, you call him to a life of repentance and a relationship with Jesus.
Yeah, see, that's the one part that I really want to encourage the Jesus people who are listening right now to get it through their heads. That the verse that says, hey, if they refuse to kind of knock off this sin thing that they're doing, you're to treat them as a tax collector, so to speak. And really what that's coming down to is you're to treat them as somebody who hasn't surrendered their life to Christ. Well, how do we treat people who aren't Jesus people? We should be loving on them in a big way, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. You love them, and you're friends with them, but what you don't do is you don't let them take the name of Christ or others understand that they're representing Christ while they're, to use the word tax gatherer, while they're stealing from their fellow countrymen, you know, because obviously that wouldn't speak well of Christ and the redemptive work he does in our life. And so how did Jesus treat tax gatherers? Man, he was with them, and he said, come, follow me, and he loved them. That's what we should do.
The basis of the lawsuit, if I understand things right, is that you guys wanted to go outside of the church and the community at large, including potentially even their employers. That's what the lawyer for John Doe says.
Yeah, well, John, and attorneys are good. They can drop just a little nugget in the media that'll make this thing look crazy. What he didn't tell him is that that was specifically Jane Roe's employer, and Jane Roe happens to be John, by the way, is not a member of our staff, but Jane is a member of another church staff. And because we are to treat others as we would have them treat you, if there was a member of my staff team that was involved in a behavior that was dishonoring to God, damning to herself, and hurting other relationships, I would want somebody to call me and say, hey, we've been to this employee, we've asked them to come to you, they're choosing not to come to you, so we're letting you know so you can love them well through this, and also you can wrestle with as to whether or not you want them in leadership. And so the employer that we did want to contact was leaders of another church of which Miss Jane Roe was a part.
Todd, where does it cross the line into gossip or spreading rumors and even the whole defamation scenario?
Sure. Well, you're defaming someone's character when you speak and say things that aren't necessarily true about it. You can't slander anybody when you're saying what's true. But gossip is when, I mean, to me, if you're talking to somebody about somebody else and they're not a part of the problem or a part of the solution, then you are, if you will, spreading dainty morsels, to use the words of Solomon in Proverbs.
Sure.
And you wouldn't do that. So we're not, with Jane or with John, we have no desire to talk, to a lot of folks about what they've been involved in, except people that are understanding them as professed followers of Christ, that are trusting that their association with them won't bring disrespect to the ministry of which they're yoked with, because they're yoked with John or Jane. And so that's the folks that we're going to. But I think gossip is when you and I go, man, can you believe what John did? Is that not amazing?
Hmm. Right.
How could somebody do that?
Right, right. All right, let me ask you one final little tidbit here, and then we'll let you go. I guess we're talking about church discipline, and does a church have the right to publicly reveal a person's private sins? I know that's kind of a fairly direct way to say it, but look, that's kind of cutting through it all. If someone isn't a church member of your church, Todd, they're just a pew sitter. They've been hanging out there for a little bit, maybe 6 months, a year, 2 years, whatever, but they haven't signed the deal, They haven't signed on the dotted line to say, yeah, I want to buy into this whole package here. Would you get stuck into them the same way?
That's a great question. What we try and do when folks come to us and say, hey, will you help me? What we say is, look, this is the way we love one another. We don't want there to be any surprises about how we push through issues in life. And what we do, we don't ever meet through with folks in isolation. In fact, if somebody says to me or to anybody on my staff, hey, I got to tell you something, but before I do, you got to swear to me you're not going to tell anybody else. This is what we say. We say, look, I understand your concern, your fear. You see people take information before and use it in a way that's damaging you and others. Okay, we think it's inappropriate to be gossips and talebearers and slanderers and people who needlessly repeat information. What I can tell you is that we will not use this information or share this with others without explaining to you why we're going to share this conversation with other people. And if you don't trust us enough to know that we're going to be responsible with this information, including sometimes sharing with others who can be a part of a solution in your life, if you don't want us to do that, then don't tell us the information and carry on. That's okay.
But let's say, the person hasn't come to you and spilled the beans. You just find out that Joe Pewsitter is doing some kind of, nasty sin deed or whatever. And
sure.
Do you take it upon yourself as a church to kick into gear and use your whole care and correction scenario?
Great question. I mean, it would all depend on whether or not they profess the name of Jesus Christ or not. Okay. And so if I'm around any other believer and he tells me, hey, I love Christ, I'm a follower of Christ, but meanwhile, I'm purposely cheating on my taxes, I'm going to say, wait a minute. I go, I'm supposed to love my neighbor. For whatever reason, God had my path crossed with yours. And so we got to process that together. And if the guy says, leave me alone, and I'm talking how I relate as a Christian, not as a pastor.
No, yeah, yeah.
As a follower of Christ, I've got to say, look, man, I got to get now somebody else who also you know and love, and we're going to come to you together and go, let's talk about whether or not you should just not file your taxes. Or lie about what you do file on your taxes.
Yeah.
But when it's a person who doesn't take the name of Christ, I tell folks in our body all the time, don't be surprised when a sinner sins. All they're doing is fulfilling the job description.
Sure.
So I'm not going to, somebody who says that they have no morality and ethic of Christ, then I'm not going to tell them that I'm going to reason with them as a friend why what they're doing is destructive and harmful to them, but I'm not going to go tell other people, you believe they're doing that, other folks would expect them.
But Todd, isn't there a timeline variation here where the confronters think that you should be knocking it off within a certain timeline, and the person who's doing the deed says, yeah, I know I need to knock it off, but you know, your timeline isn't my timeline, and maybe I'm procrastinating, maybe I'm not, but we don't all learn the same way. We don't all kick our habits in the same time period.
That's a great question again, Drew. Let me say it to you this way. If John is saying, look, let's take it out of the context of, let's say it's pornography, or let's say it's alcoholism. We're not gonna, when a person says, I wanna begin to struggle, well, I mean, I admit that it's a problem in my life, and I don't wanna continue to go back to that destructive behavior. We're gonna extend them a ton of grace.
Sure.
Okay? The problem becomes, though, when they're gonna continue practices that put them in a vulnerable position, which is, for instance, they're gonna continue to go out every Friday night, you know, from 8 to 1 and hang out, you know, I don't know what your spots are in Toronto where there's a bunch of bars, but if this guy continued to go out with his friends and for happy hour every night after work and consistently got drunk, we might say, there's your problem. If you continue to do that, no matter what you say about your heart change, you know, you really don't have a heart to change.
Okay, so
you're not taking any steps.
So you're going to do the Matthew 18 thing. You're going to confront him personally with one-on-one, and then you're going to go get a group of people or whatever. And then eventually, would you get to the point where you put the guy out? I mean, and along with that, Todd, how do you actually put someone out of the church? I mean, it's not like back in the days of Corinth where there was one stinking church.
Right.
And when you were put out, you were really put out. I mean, in Dallas, there's like 50,000 churches, right?
Right, and unfortunately, a lot of them probably don't care what members of their body are doing. And I really mean that, because one of the things that this reason is such a big story is because folks are unbelievably surprised that churches actually still do this with people. And it's not many do. Too many don't. And, you know, one of the things I've said on this whole deal is a lot of folks who don't understand Christ's call for us to love each other say, why do you guys meddle each other's business? Let him go. You're a cult. You're controlling it. And I say, you know, you really can't have it both ways. For years, the world has criticized the church, and I think rightly, for not living up to the standard that it says it represents. And now here's a group of people who, in love, in a way that's biblical and reasonable, are following process to love somebody, and they're saying that they shouldn't do that. I mean, you really can't have it both ways.
Yeah, well said. Very well said. Again, I keep thinking about, well, I'll just flash back to a scenario in our church in Australia where I was associate pastor, and there was a former pastor and his wife. It's always the former pastors that sit in the pews that cause the biggest ruckus, isn't it? It's unbelievable, these guys. Anyway, and they really should have been put out, to be quite honest, and I won't get into the details. But the reality is they were so obstinate that they would have forced their way back in. What are you going to do, post security guards at the door and not let them come into church?
Well, I'll give you a real life example. All right, we had a guy, a young man that was not a member of our church, that was. And I'll give you this is a good example about when you should share with a larger body. This was a number of years ago. I was leading a ministry of singles, probably numbered over 1,000, and there was a young man that had gotten involved with a number of women, and it transmitted some STDs, sexually transmitted diseases, to a couple of them, and one of them finally came to us and said, "Look, I've made some terrible mistakes. I associated myself with this guy. I was undiscerning just because he was at church. I thought he was a believer. We've been together intimately. He's given me herpes, and this is who he is." So, I mean, we went to the guy and just said, "Hey, here's the deal. Look, we all make mistakes. We don't know anything about you personally." And the guy said, "Well, I'm not a member of your church, but I'm learning. I'm coming." And we said, "Great. Here's the deal. You're welcome to continue to come. But when you come, you've got to sit with one or two or three of these group of men." And the guy says, "I'm not going to do that." And I said, "That's fine. You're free to not do that if you want, but I'm going to introduce you then to the remainder of the folks that are here so they might know of the danger that you represent to them."
So you told the 1,000 member singles group that the guy's got herpes?
Well, I told them. I told this guy this. I said, "Here's the deal. You're free to walk in here. We're not going to, we're not going to tell you not to come. We're glad you want to come. But because you are a wolf among sheep, if you will not put yourself under the care of other shepherds while you're amongst the sheep, we will." I said, "I personally will introduce you to the people, and I'll do this." And I said, I'm going to get up in front here in about, you know, if you don't do this, in about 5 minutes when I get up there, I'm going to say, "Hey, folks, we're glad you're here today. I'll use Bill Smith as another name so we don't confuse the two people we're talking about.
Sure.
Hey, by the way, Bill's here. Bill's been visiting with us for a while. We're glad that he's here. We've talked to Bill about some of his practices, and you need to know, Bill does not want to relate to us in any way, but he does want to relate to a number of young women, and he has been in this class, and Bill has been, relating to them in an inappropriate way, including passing on some sexually transmitted disease. So Bill was nice to hear, but I told folks that if you wouldn't operate with us in this way, we're going to let them know that you're not a safe person to be intimate with."
So what did he do? What did he do?
He said, "You won't do it." And I said, "Bill, you know me well enough that if you won't let us love you by working through this in private, and you're going to continue to put yourself in the presence of folks that I care for, that I will do it. And he did know me well enough, and Bill left. He came back about 4 months later. I walked up to him, shook his hand. Somebody said, hey, Bill's here. And I said, Bill, how you doing, man? We told you these are the things we'd love to do to work through this with you. And he goes, well, man, he goes, you know, 4 months ago. And I said, right, and we don't know that you're any different. So you're welcome here today. If you hang out with these guys, if you want to sit by yourself, we do the same thing. And he decided to leave again. And I hope Bill's doing well, but I've never seen him again.
Wow, man, you have got some... Yeah.
I mean, but don't you think that you, I mean, it's...
Oh, heck yeah. You know what I do? I just simply think about if my daughter was in that group, you know, it's either you deal with it or I'll be in prison.
Exactly. Well, you know, see, that's the thing. I mean, God tells us to care for the flock among us, to shepherd the flock among us. So I don't want to shame Bill. And I told him, I said, Bill, don't make me do it this way. But if you choose to operate here in secrecy and isolation,
yeah.
I go, I can't go back and have a personal conversation with every woman that you might meet and pass your number to.
Yeah.
And so you're not a safe person. And so if you won't put yourself in a position that will keep you from doing what I believe you don't want to do, which is to hurt others,
yeah.
I'm going to have to help you not hurt others.
Yeah. But in this scenario, we're talking about with the lawsuit and everything, I mean, really, the only one that's kind of getting hurt, I guess, in a kind of a hurtful, emotional way, and we're not talking spreading diseases here. We're talking about I'm sure this guy's wife, John Doe's wife, is not impressed with the whole thing.
Well, you know, and again, I mean, I think marriage, even folks who aren't followers of Christ, understand the importance of the fabric of marriage in society. And for the good of children and for the good of any organization.
Yeah.
But we're fighting for a marriage here. And whether the marriage survives or not, we're also trying to care well for somebody that Jesus died for, which is John and for Jane.
You're such a cool guy to talk with. Next time I'm down in Dallas visiting A. Larry Ross Communications, I want to pop in and say good day, all right?
I wish you would.
But Todd, I want to let people know that your website, is it Watermark? What is the website anyway?
It's
watermark.org. Watermark.org. There's a thing you can click on there which will tell you the gist of the story, and at the bottom of it, there's a cool deal you can click on that shows this church's policy on care and correction in the church. And I've got this document in front of me. I've read it over the last couple of days, and I got to commend you. You guys really seem like you're doing it right. My problem is, though, is that there's a lot of whack job churches out there with a lot of power-hungry people in charge, sticking their nose in businesses that really doesn't, you know, and the way they do it is just shocking, really shocking. And so it scares me to give the church a carte blanche, you know, sort of blank check to stick their nose in people's business and go about things in inappropriate and wrong ways. And of course, I'm talking about the legality of the whole thing now, because I talked with your lawyer and they said, yeah, really what it comes down to is you guys are just abiding by your own religious scriptural principles, and the government's not going to step in and try to tell you guys how to discern that information, because they don't know their head from a hole in the ground when it comes to that stuff. So you guys got a free-for-all here. I said, well, what about non-members? Said, same thing, man. Same thing. They got a free-for-all. You can do it. I'm thinking, man, that scares me. Because especially in the United States, you got more whack job churches than we do, let me tell you.
Yeah, well, we, you know, and listen, people are all over this world, you know, right now saying that they're doing things because God has given them the authority, the right, and the responsibility to do it. And if that means they fly planes into buildings, or drive a car up to a coffee shop and blow it up, or abusive in the way they control people in a local church, people have got to be discerning. And what you've got to do as an individual is out there attending any local body or underneath any person who's representing themselves as a spiritual leader, read the scripture. See if what this leader is saying to you is so. If it is, you're blessed. If it's not, run for the hill.
Good stuff. Todd Wagner, pastor from Watermark Community Church in Dallas. And it's a great website. Again, it's watermark.org, right? Watermark.org?
Yeah, and I would encourage folks, too, all our media, a couple things they can do if they want. They can go to iTunes, Watermark Radio. We've got all our stuff is podcast for free. It'll slap right down to whatever they want every week. They can delete what they want, listen to what they want. And also all our old messages and stuff are there under our media and resource section. And they can download those for free. If they want a hard CD, we just send them out at our cost. And if they can't afford that, tell us that. We'll get them the CDs anyway. And, in fact, we did a message the week after John Doe filed called, I'm going to love you, so sue me. and they can listen to us talk a little bit about this, pray for John, and also we have some on there, some members of our church that have been through this care and correction process and have said, look, you saved my marriage, you blessed me, and other folks in our church have said, you know what, I'm here at this church now, I'm on my second, some third marriage, and they say, had somebody loved me the way you guys are trying to love, you know, we're trying to love members now, I wouldn't be in my second or third marriage.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
anyway, look, there's no question, Drew, there's lots of folks out there that are taking this in an abusive way, and I would just tell folks to be very discerning, and I would also tell pastors to not be afraid of being sued, and just to make sure they're acting not with haste, but in accordance with Scripture. And God will take care of it. He'll glorify himself however he wants.
Yeah, Todd, you know where it's going to go squirrely up here in Canada is when a pastor confronts somebody in their congregation about their homosexual lifestyle, because we got that kind of included in the hate crimes legislation up here. You can't speak out against that, you know, homosexuality. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of church discipline stuff comes down the pike in this whole, you know, freedom of speech and I don't know, I've lost all the terms. I'm not a political guy, man, but all I do know is from your point of view, from your church's website, watermark.org, if you click on this care and correction PDF file, print this off and hand it around your church or give it to your church leaders, this is one of the best documents I've seen in a long time, Todd.
I'm humbled, Drew. Thank you very much.
All right, buddy.
We appreciate you and your listeners praying for us, and may we both glorify Christ in all we do today.
Thanks, mate. Good to chat.
Take care, Canada.
Todd Wagner from Dallas. Folks, the phone lines are open, 905-338-1250. 905-338-1250. Call now. Does a church have the right to publicly reveal a person's private sins? You just heard that whole scenario in Dallas. Has that happened in your church? Have you ever seen church discipline worked out healthily, properly? The majority of times I've seen churches try to exercise some sort of church discipline thing, it's been horrific. What's been your experience? 905-338-1250. That's the phone number to give us a call right now. And then Randy Travis will be coming up on our show in just a wee while. I want to read to you a post from our website, www.drewmarshall.ca, drewmarshall.ca. When we ask the question, does a church have the right to publicly reveal a person's private sins? Somebody posted a post? Is that what you say? I'm such a schmuck. My former church that I grew up in did this. That's one of the reasons I left, really. A close friend of mine got pregnant with her serious boyfriend at the time. I guess her private sin wasn't really private, but the poor girl was asked to repent in front of the congregation. It was the right thing to do at the time, I guess, but it was so hard on her. I know it's a common practice in some churches, but she was ostracized and shamed afterwards. I don't think shame brings change to anyone's walk. It was by force, I believe, and she left the church as a result. Tough stuff. So there's one person's opinion on this whole topic. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll take your calls. 905-338-1250. You are listening to The Drew Marshall Show. How do we take the higher ground on this, man? Does a church have the right to publicly reveal a person's private sins? What's your story? We'll be right back.
Drew said too much already. Now it's your turn. Call now, 905-338-1250.
You are listening to The Drew Marshall Show. The phone lines are open, 905-338-1250. We're asking the question, does a church have the right to publicly reveal a person's private sins in order to kind of get them to stop doing it? Is it any of their business? Have you ever seen a church go about this the right way? 905-338-1250. Have you had a negative experience maybe in your church or heard of a negative experience in your church where the church got up front and publicly revealed somebody's private personal sin life? What do you think about this? Especially as it pertains to Matthew 18 and 1 Corinthians 5. I mean, there's certainly enough scriptures in there that talk about this. In this particular scenario, we just interviewed the pastor of this church down in Dallas, Todd Wagner, and here's what the lowdown is. From what I can tell, there's a couple that are married and members of this church, Watermark. They came forward asking for help, the misses of that couple came forward asking for help related to challenges in her marital relationship. Look, it sounds like an affair, so let's call it like it's, maybe it's something else, but it sounds like, you know, this guy's having an affair. As part of the process, the guy and his wife included other people, both members at Watermark and outside the church, in discussions regarding this thing. So I guess these folks at the church felt it was safe to kind of spread the news a little bit, if you know what I mean. And they were going to send out letters in this couple's life. So you got a guy, a husband, and the girl he's having the affair with, or the lady, whatever. And the church says they approached him individually, and then they brought some more people towards him, and then they kind of went outside and said, we're going to send some letters to some people, like employers and different things, and we're going to let them know what you all are doing. And I just kind of go, whoa, you know, you got to be real careful how you go about that. Hi, who's this?
Marion, hi.
How are you?
Good, good.
What do you think about this topic? Does a church have the right to publicly reveal a person's private sins?
Well, no, because I was sort of kicked out of church for no reason.
You were kicked out of church for no reason?
Yep. Totally made belief. Make believe.
What happened?
Well, the pastor went off the wall when it came to adultery.
Right.
I wouldn't if you paid me.
You what?
I wouldn't if you paid me. I don't know what game. I was in church every Sunday. I don't know what he... And then he looked at right at me and told me to get out.
Really?
In the middle of the church. So I sort of crossed my legs, looked him straight in the eyes, and sat there. I stayed there to prove that I was innocent. And then I walked out.
Wow. They did this in the middle of a service?
Yeah.
Okay, no matter... I don't think, no matter what the story is, it just doesn't sound appropriate to me.
No, it's not appropriate behavior, even if I was committing adultery. But he had no grounds to even say that. I wasn't. I mean, I was sitting with a man who I later found out was committing adultery on one of my girlfriends, but, I mean, I didn't know.
Right, you didn't know all that stuff.
No, I just sitting with him because he was my girlfriend's husband. I mean, that's the only reason I was sitting with him. I asked if I could sit down.
So with this scenario we're talking about with this church in Dallas, sounds like there's an affair going on, and I guess he's gotten to the point where they want to let other people know about this. Mm-hmm. And so you're saying that, no, this pastor or this church does not have the right to let other people know about this guy's problem or whatever.
Not in church. In private session, definitely, but not in the middle of church.
Right. So, again, in that scripture, Matthew 18, it does say if they refuse to kind of own up to their sin life, yeah, we should bring it to the church. So what do you do with that scripture?
Well, I have to agree with that. It will shame them into not doing it again, but mine was totally, there was no grounds for it.
Really? I wonder what the legal ramifications would be up here in Canada. You know, they have a bit more of that free speech thing going on with that First Amendment down in the States, but I wonder up here if it would be allowed or not.
I never thought bring him to trial or anything like that. I have told him, because I offered him, I'm a writer, so I offered him a play I was writing on, and he actually thought he was going to get taken out to lunch by me over it. I said, you're not going to do lunch in this town again.
Huh.
After he turned it down.
Yeah.
Because it was a good script.
Right, okay.
I mean, everything happened at that church, so I walked out finally.
Crazy. Great. Well, it just impresses on my head that it's not really the letter of the law. It's how you go about, you know.
Yeah, exactly. I was not prepared to get yelled at in the middle of church.
No, that's just crazy. That's crazy. Hey, I appreciate your call. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
905-338-1250. There's a line open for you to get in on this particular conversation. Does a church have the right to publicly reveal a person's private sins? Hi, who's this?
Hi, Drew. How are you?
Good.
Henrietta here.
Hi, Henrietta. Nice to hear from you. What do you think about this question? Does a church have the right to publicly reveal a person's sins?
Well, where I look into the Bible is where with David and Bathsheba, and when the Lord told David that you have done this sin thing in secret, and I'm going to let Israel know.
Hmm.
So in her church, when somebody has committed a sin, as a member of the church, you've been brought to the church, and the church said, well, we have to disfellowship you, are let them know. Now they don't really disfellowship, they just let the church know and they reconcile the person back. But I'm thinking about the scripture, you've done this thing in secret and I'm going to tell Israel, every secret sin must be revealed.
Yeah.
Especially if people are doing things and it's contrary to the Bible. We can't pass the word of God to go into heaven, so what do we do with that?
Yeah, I agree. Look, I think that if we all knew we were going to get busted, you know, with our little secret sins, I think we'd probably knock them off a lot more. We wouldn't be sinning as much, I think. I think we wouldn't be participating in as much nasty stuff.
That's right.
Right?
Our sins should be revealed, and as a matter of fact, we better get some senses to know that if you are going to serve God, serve God. And if you're going to serve the devil, serve the devil.
Yeah.
What it makes sense, you're not enjoying the world and you are not enjoying God's presence. It doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
But Drew, before you go, last week I want to call back, but I couldn't get through. The on your part of you were saying you feel naked, and I just want to encourage you to tell you that God loves you, and it's not how we started, it's how we finish, how we come into this world, how we grow up. I don't think that's the important. It's important, but not that important as the our finish line.
Right.
It's when we finish. It's the end of our journey. That's what counts. It's not the beginning.
Well, so, Henrietta, thank you for those words of encouragement. I appreciate that a lot.
Yes, I have met you personally, but I love you. God loves you, and listening to your family with the child care thing, the advertising, Compassionate Canada. I respect you for who you are, and God bless you, and I think your finish line will be great.
Well,
Paul
so.
Said, I fought a good fight, and I've kept the faith, and I've finished my course, and it's laid up for me a crown of life in glory.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Henrietta.
God bless.
Thank you. You take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 905-338-1250. Last couple of callers in this. If you want to get in now, you got to get in right now. Talking about, does a church have the right to publicly reveal a person's private sins? Coming up next, our interview with Randy Travis. He will be on our show momentarily. All right, Randy Travis coming up on the Drew Marshall Show. I mean, if it happened to you, you have to personalize this. You really do. If it because I mean, that's where the emotion gets behind all of this. If it happened to you, if you were struggling or if you were embracing a certain sin, maybe that's the difference right there, struggling or embracing a sin. Like, look, there's no question we all sin. We've all sinned and fall short of God's perfection. And imagine if everybody and their mother was sticking their nose in your business and saying, hey, you know, you got to knock this off and stop that. And if you don't, then I'm going to bring some more people. And then if you don't do that, we're going to bring it before the church. I mean, I've just not come across very many healthy churches, period, let alone in this whole, how to correct and encourage and exhort people thing. Last couple of callers. Hi, who's this?
It's Emily.
Hi, Emily. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Emily, what's your take on this? Do you think a church has the right to publicly reveal a person's private sins?
Well, in a way they do, but I'd say those were the days that we're living in when it was done in those days. But we're living in grace days, and I don't think Jesus would have done it in this time.
Well, I think, look, 1 Corinthians 5 certainly suggests a different scenario, and Matthew 18 as well, and those are both obviously New Testament scriptures, and that's in this grace period.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, wow, man, you know, if a church could do it right, again, I think this church has gone about things fairly decently, one of the better ways I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
If they could go about it right, it really does boil down to the process of confronting somebody, gently encouraging, exhorting, you know, whatever you need to do. But I don't know. I guess I draw the line when it comes to standing in front of the entire church and saying, here's a person and they're not going to stop sinning and they're sitting in the fifth row over there, by the way.
That's right.
That drives me a little bonkers. Unless, as he said, hey, if it was me that was busted, you'd have to let the entire church know.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make any sense?
Well, in a way, but then again, we as the members would have compassion. We have to think about the compassion. We also have to think about the soul that you're destroying. You don't want to kill a wounded soldier, right?
Well, but again, especially in that 1 Corinthians 5 scenario where, they're all bragging about their church and Paul kind of comes in and goes, hey, you guys think your church is all that, but meanwhile you got this guy who's doing some nasty deed in your church and no one's doing anything about it. And everyone knows it, but no one's saying anything to him. Real love, like think about the way you discipline your kids. Real love is you do the hard stuff, right? Mm-hmm. If you love your kid, you're gonna discipline them, aren't you?
That's right. Yes, but then you're gonna have a little compassion also. Because for instance, even with the lady that said commits adultery, you see, everybody know that she did it, but maybe who knows? She he had to be pushed to do it. But Jesus had compassion. He had to restore her dignity because she had already lost her dignity.
Sure. So
from
I think
the moment she was caught.
I think what you're saying is Jesus did say, go and sin no more.
That's right.
But he did it in a compassionate, sort of relational way, right?
Right. And we have to learn to do, like, I mean, what would you think of Jesus? What would Jesus do in a situation like this? I mean, he wouldn't let the sin go, but he would punish them, but he would do it in a better way, like with love, compassion, you know?
Yeah. Okay. All right. I appreciate your call. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Have a good-
I just cut her off. Sorry. Have a good day, I think you might have said. Hi, who's this?
Hi, this is Vanessa Drew.
How are you?
I'm great, thanks. Yourself?
Very well. I'm running on 3 hours sleep, so
right.
I'm a bit
tired,
googly today.
Yeah, I would say the church absolutely does have the right, if it's done correctly, like this Pastor Todd is talking about, try it privately first. Then maybe two or three people to whom this person is accountable. But then if they're not cooperating, by all means, let the church know. If it is hurting the entire church, then the entire church needs to know.
Right, right. Yeah, and I guess it really is scenario by scenario, isn't it?
Right.
You know, we can't just say that the sort of a carte blanche statement that anybody that's not willing to back off of a sin. And here's the gray area in this. Willing to back off and admitting and embracing and all that kind of stuff. If somebody is genuinely struggling with some sort of addictive behavior,
right?
One day they'll be embracing it, the next day they'll be struggling with it.
Hmm.
So you can't just sort of draw that line and say, well, you know, you're embracing it because you've gone out and drank again this week. Well, no, maybe they're still struggling with it. They were embracing it that Friday night when they were out getting hammered, as far as being an alcoholic goes.
Sure.
It's
hard.
You couldn't pay me enough to be a pastor these days.
I know what you mean.
But I wonder from a legal side, if there is any fear of lawsuits up here in Canada.
Probably. I mean, we've got laws against everything nowadays.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Just wait. Wait till a church confronts a homosexual in their congregation and says, you need to knock it off, and wait till that hate crimes legislation kicks into gear there.
Mm-hmm.
Be very interesting, won't it?
Yeah.
Hey, appreciate your call.
You're welcome, Drew. Bye-bye.
905. No, I'm not going to give out the phone number because I can't take any more calls. Hi, who's this?
Hi, my name is Margaret.
Margaret, how are you today?
Good, good. I listen to your show every Saturday, but first I'm calling in.
Well, thank you for calling
good
in.
Show. Anyway, I was listening to the lady that called before.
Yes.
And she was speaking with David and Bathsheba.
Yes.
But she forgot to mention that David had repented.
Yeah.
So that's the key thing. And with the pastor, I guess he could announce it to the church, but not to the community on a whole.
Here's the difference. Wouldn't you do it at a church meeting where it's members only? I mean,
right,
the visitors and newcomers don't need to hear all that stuff.
Right, that's correct. I think the best scenario would be you announce it to the church, I have something to announce or whatever to confront a member with. You call a church meeting or a members meeting, rather, on a night that's not a regular gathering.
Yeah.
And you laid it out, because at first he confronted whoever was involved. So, and the thing is that he didn't confess his sin. He didn't admit it to it.
Right, right.
So
you
that's
know,
the thing. Then you go, you move forward.
One of the most beautiful scenarios that I can think of is when a young lady or a young couple in the church finds themselves pregnant before marriage and, you know, according to the Bible, that's not a great position to be in.
Right.
And the church brings them to the front of the church, but only after they've agreed to this, the young couple has agreed to this, and they say, look, here's an obvious thing. You're going to see this lady getting bigger. She's obviously preggers. We want to surround this couple. We want to love them. We want to support them and encourage them. They have come with repentant hearts. They realize that they've been busted. Like a lot of couples mess around before marriage, but these guys, you know, they got busted, right?
Right.
It's pretty obvious. But as a church, to model loving on them and supporting them and encouraging them so that we head off the whole gossip thing at the pass. You know what I mean?
Right. But that scenario, I've known two cases like that. One young lady got pregnant, and she was asked to announce it. I think it was on a Wednesday night to the church that she's pregnant, because I think she was in some area of leadership.
Okay.
And there was another one where she got pregnant, but she was supposed to get married. But in the process of getting married, she got pregnant.
What do you mean, the engagement?
Yes, after the engagement.
Oh, right, okay.
The process, the marriage preparation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she got pregnant.
Okay.
And then she, I think it was after she had a child,
yeah,
she was asked to announce it that she got pregnant before marriage.
Right.
But
that's because she was a leader in ministry, right?
Right.
Okay, and I, you know what, here's the, we'll finish with this particular comment here. Here's the whole deal. If you are a leader in ministry, there is a greater accountability. The Bible says so, and it makes total sense. And I think, yeah, you have to announce these things. You have to talk.
Mm-hmm.
Like I know we had a couple on our show last year who came in, and that's what happened in their church. They had to tell the youth leader. They were youth leaders in the church.
Okay.
They had to tell the other leaders, then they had to tell the parents, and then they had to tell the youth group. And it was a tough thing to go through. But the way the church went about it turned it into such a restorative thing. It was beautiful.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you're supposed to restore. You do it in a loving manner, but yeah, not too many churches do that.
No, no, and that's what scares me is the wacko churches out there that, you know, say stuff like we can handle snakes and not get bit, and enforce a couple or somebody up on stage or just rat on them in public. You
but
know, even a pew sitter. Like, why would you do that?
We as Christians, we always say to confront and make it public. But remember, the Bible says, unless it's a habitual thing for them, they're doing it continuously, with no remorse, then that's when you're supposed to, you know, make it public.
Yeah.
When there is no admission of sin, no, you know, confessing your sin and say, well, I'm sorry for doing that or whatever, and move forward. And not just confessing. When they confess, there's supposed to be a process of restoration.
Yeah.
And not too many times the churches do that.
Yeah, very well said. I appreciate your call so much.
You're welcome.
Take care.
Okay, bye.
All right, we are done with that topic. Brought to you by iSeco, keeping you more than just safe since 1938. If you want to wade in on this discussion a little bit more, you couldn't get through in the phone lines, you go to our website, www.drewmarshall.ca, go to our forums, and you can type till your heart's is till your heart content. My words are not working today. Type your face off. When we come back, Randy Travis on the Drew Marshall Show. Stay with us.
Want to find out who's on the Drew Marshall Show next week? Sign up for our weekly email updates online at drewmarshall.ca.
I was brought up in a Christian family. I always knew Jesus Christ died for me.
Chairman of iSeco Safety Shoes, Gary Munnings.
My mom used to take me to, and all the kids around on the street that wanted to go, we'd trailer down to Weston, to the Weston Baptist Church when I was a kid.
Specialist in safety footwear since 1938.
Well, when Dad started the business a long time ago, he actually dedicated the company to the Lord. I guess he always felt that we were put here for a reason, and the Lord had us in his hands. We're a faithful family. We've tried to live the Christian faith, and that meant treating our customers and our employees the way we like to be treated ourselves. We pray on a regular basis. That's part of our heritage. That's part of the way we run our business. We always feel that the Lord is part and parcel of who we are and what we do, and that includes our company. I've had customers say to me, you know, you just seem different. I've never been a preachy type of a person, and I don't know of any of us that really are. We just try to live our faith. And that comes through in the way we treat our customers as well.
iSeco, where safety means integrity.